Considered one of the most acclaimed mystery writers at work today, Steve Hamilton has penned multiple New York Times bestsellers and is one of only three authors to win an Edgar for both his first novel and best novel. When A Cold Day in Paradise was published in 1998, introducing readers to Hamilton's sharp prose and his beloved Alex McKnight, the novel was awarded both the Edgar and Seamus Awards for best first novel, propelling Hamilton to a place among the greats of contemporary crime fiction. Now, after 5 years away, Hamilton returns to the series that put him on the map with Dead Man Running, the 11th entry in his Alex McKnight series, featuring the former Detroit cop, occasional PI, and general problem solver in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Steve Hamilton will be discussing and signing his new novel at the Barnes & Noble in Kingston, New York, next Thursday. That's the 30th of August at 7 o'clock. Again, the name of the new book is Dead Man Running, an Alex McKnight novel. And we welcome back to the show our friend Steve Hamilton. Steve, good morning. How are you? Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice. Very nice to have you on the program. We always like when you're here.
Thank you.
And telling us about a new work. So, as I mentioned in the introduction, it's been a little while, a couple of years since Alex McKnight has been with us. You brought him back. Did it feel good to write his story again?
Yeah, it really did feel good to get to be back. As you said, it's been 20 years since that first book. It's hard to imagine, but because this month is the 20-year month anniversary of A Cold Day in Paradise, with this character who's been there really with me from the beginning. This ex-cop who goes to this sort of leaves his life and goes to this place on Lake Superior and still gets into all this trouble. And it's been 5 years since the last one, but I always knew I'd come back because I always want to come back and see what he's up to next.
So in this particular book, give us a sense of what's happening. Takes place with the setup on the Mediterranean Sea. A vacationer logs on the security camera feed from his home in Scottsdale, Arizona. Something doesn't look right. Rewinding through the feed, he sees an intruder. When he shifts to the bedroom camera, he sees the dead body. There you go.
Yeah, so that's how it starts. And so really you sort of see this crime from a really, you know, I mean, this guy's on the other side of the world. So as the reader, you're sort of with him, and you see this crime from a really far vantage point. And then the next chapter, you come much, much closer, and you see what's really going on. And there's this serial killer who's working in the western part of the country. And when they catch him, he has this really interesting message for him. He says, first of all, there's one of them is still alive. And second of all, I will take you to her. But there's one condition. You have to go find this ex-cop from Detroit named Alex McKnight, and he has to come with us. And so they have to go fly across the country and get Alex. I mean, this is in February. So it's, you know, the middle of the winter.
Right.
And Alex is just, you know, dealing with that up there. And these FBI agents, I mean, imagine if the FBI agents showed up at your door with a story like this. The big mystery for Alex is that he has no idea who this guy is or why he would ask for him. He does not see any connection between himself and this killer on the other side of the country. So that's really the big mystery for the whole first part of this book is that why he was chosen to get drawn into this nightmare that's going to end up taking, you know, just sort of leading across the whole country.
What do you think it is about this character that has struck a chord, that people relate to, that people want to know more about?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. I mean, if you ever saw the movie Skyfall,
yeah,
it was a few years ago, and it was sort of, you know, after a bazillion James Bond movies that were sort of getting kind of ridiculous, they just decided to just sort of go back to the beginning a little bit and just see what was it about this character that Ian Fleming had created that really made him so compelling. And I was kind of inspired by that, by how great a job they did with that. And I kind of had that idea in mind, not that I was going to start over from in terms of the series, but just that I was going to go back and strip everything down just about, you know, what is it about this guy. I mean, this book is not about the place and the paradise and all of his friends and everything that's around him. This is just about the character himself. I mean, this ex-cop who leaves his life and just, you know, and tries to be alone, but he can't because he's compelled to go do things and make things right. I mean, what was it about that character from that first book that made him work? And that's what I was really trying to get at with this book when I finally went back to him after being away for 5 years.
Yeah. And of course, the other character that you write about is Nick Mason. And so for you, I guess it's very, very different. I mean, there's things, I assume you think of ideas that are certainly more appropriate for one character than another.
Well, they're definitely two different guys, that's for sure. I mean, that's, you know, that's why I had taken the break from Alex, is that I had gone to do the Nick Mason series. And the first time you see Nick Mason, he's walking out of prison. So right from the beginning, you know, this is a very different person with a different background. He's a professional criminal, a little bit younger than Alex. It's kind of interesting, the couple things they have in common, really. They're both very loyal to their friends and to their family. But other than that, on paper, they couldn't be any more different. And it'll be interesting someday in the future, if and when they both sort of end up in the same book together.
Okay, so if and when, but you've thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah,
that'd be great. No, yeah, I think that has to happen. I think we have to see that. Yeah.
Well, I mean the greats, and I'll put you in that category. The greats have always done that. Michael Conway has done that. Robert B. Parker did that. I mean, after a while, you want all these folks together.
That's pretty great company to.
Yeah.
Put me in, so thank
Robert
you.
Robert Kreis.
Yeah, you're right. Michael Conley, you know, with his Bosch character and his other guys, they do sort of end up, because, I mean, they sort of all kind of live in different parts of the same world. So so it's great to see them come together. And for Alex and Nick, that would be, you know, they're not that far apart geographically, so why not?
So, as I mentioned, you're going to be doing this event next week in Kingston, and all of these books, or most of these books, take place in Michigan, and yet...
Well, they sort of start there.
Right.
Because that's where he lives, and they sort of end there, but this book really takes place, you know, and a lot of it takes place in Arizona, and then it sort of tracks this chase all the way across the country, so it really takes place... really the whole country it does.
So, but home base is the Hudson Valley. So it must be nice to, I mentioned the event at Kingston, you get to come home.
Right.
And do you like writing about Michigan and its environs from the security of Cottokill?
It's a very secure place, Cottokill. You know, it's fun. I was just talking about this last night. I did this really great event. I'm here in Michigan now. And, you know, James Joyce didn't write about Ireland until he left it. And Nabokov didn't write about Russia until he was gone from it. And I realize I've just now compared myself to James Joyce and Nabokov.
That's all right. I understand the comparison.
The idea is the same. I mean, I grew up in Michigan, and I lived there all the way through college, and then I came out to New York, and I've lived in the Hudson Valley ever since. But it was being able to look back at that place that I knew so well, now that I was gone from it, that sort of puts everything in a different light, and you get to sort of see what it was about a place that makes it stand out, makes it unique. And I was able to see this is what Michigan really was, and what makes the state different, the people who live there different, from Detroit all the way up north. It's just, there's something about that place. And the people who live there, it's like Elmore Leonard used to say about Detroit, it's the one city that can't get by on its good looks.
Right.
And there's something really true about that. And I was just in Detroit. I was just there yesterday. You know, this is a city that's been beat up and gone bankrupt and just, you know, gone through some really tough times. And it's and it's bouncing back. I mean, it really is. It was great to be there and to see all this life going on and all these people out at night, just, you know, going to the restaurants and the casinos in Greektown. That sort of stands for a little bit about what Alex is all about. Somebody who went through this terrible experience as a Detroit cop, but he doesn't quit. You know, he never quits. So that's, I think it says a lot about him.
There are, it's interesting you bring up Elmore Leonard. I was a huge Elmore Leonard fan. He was a regular in this program, and we loved having him.
Oh, great. Yeah, me too.
But your Detroit is different than Elmore Leonard's Detroit, but it does give you a very full picture of the city.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of grew up in Elmore Leonard's Detroit, really. I mean, he was a little bit older than me, and I got to meet him too. It was such a great pleasure and honor, and we didn't talk writing at all, by the way, when I met him. We just talked about the ballparks, about Tiger Stadium versus the new park where they play, and why it's, you know, better in every way, and yet it's still not the same as the old ballpark. You know, that's what two guys from Detroit talk about. But you know, I mean, I was born there in the '60s. I was sort of vaguely aware of the riots in the late '60s and all the troubles that were going on then, and I saw the whole decline start with the auto industry there. You know, Elmore was sort of holding on to what Detroit was a little bit more than I, because he was a little bit older and he saw that, and I sort of saw where it was going. And you know, Elmore's no longer with us. I like to think that if he was, he would be writing about Detroit right now the way that it is coming back. I think he'd be so happy to see that.
Absolutely. And you know, this is cliche. I know people have said this about whether it be Harry Bosch's L.A. or Spencer's Boston or you know, Elmore Leonard's Detroit or your Detroit, that it becomes a character in and of itself in the books because it's such a place and it has such a strong existence. And I assume that does enter into your writing as to say, you mentioned, and I think wonderfully so a few moments ago, about, you know, once you leave, you get to really appreciate it and be able to write about it. But it does become a very cool place to write about. And I say that as a reader of seeing what you do with it.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, I mean, the setting really is kind of a character in itself. And Detroit was just—it just had to be where Alex came from, because he, you know, as a police officer, and I hang out with a bunch of retired Detroit cops. Every time I come back here, I'm going to have breakfast with them on Friday morning. Just sit with a table of eight retired Detroit cops and just listen to all the stories. I mean, it's just amazing. But you're right about, you know, every place has a feeling to it, and Detroit feels like where Alex came from. And even if you go up to a little town called Paradise, which is in the same state, but really in a different kind of world. I mean, I don't imagine you've ever been to Paradise, Michigan.
I have not.
But if you ever do, you're going to drive a long way just to get to a blinking light. But basically, on the way up to just north of there is Whitefish Point, where the Edmund Fitzgerald went down. That's just sort of, and that kind of that feeling of just the lake being the mistress of that whole place. You know, it just, you just have that feeling that it can turn on you at any second. And that, it's a beautiful place in a very unforgiving way. And again, that's another part of this series, and that setting is also a different character in these stories.
Well, the new book is just terrific. It's called Dead Man Running. It's an Alex McKnight novel. It is published by Putnam, and Steve Hamilton will be discussing and signing the new book at Barnes & Noble in Kingston next Thursday at 7 o'clock. It's August 30th at 7 p.m. at the Barnes & Noble in Kingston. Steve, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on the new book, and thank you very much for being with us as always.
Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Again, it's Dead Man Running by Steve Hamilton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.